Frances O'Grady, many congratulations. How does it feel to be an honorary graduate of the University of Warwick?
Well, it is a real honour, especially when I feel I haven't worked very hard for it. And you see in front of you all these amazing graduates who have worked incredibly hard to achieve what they've achieved. But it was a wonderful experience and a great atmosphere in the hall.
Absolutely. And thinking about yourself as sort of a 21-year-old, Frances, and sort of... You know, how did your career develop to be the point where you are, you know, in a significant position you are in a trade union movement in the United Kingdom?
Well, I think if anybody wants to work for a trade union, the way to get involved is by getting active in your own union, finding the right union for you, and then really getting involved. We've got so many big campaigns that we're running at the moment, but also in the workplace, it's really important that working people look after each other, represent each other. There is plenty of work to do. Yeah. But most unions, I think, when they're looking to employ full-time officials, are looking for people who are committed. It doesn't mean you've got to have sat on a committee for 10 years, but it does mean that you've got to share our values of... Yeah. Equality and solidarity and justice at work, and be open to learning and do your very best for the movement.
And thinking about the movement and where it is today, previous this week I spoke with John Cridland, who is the Director General of the Confederation of British Industry, and I asked him about, you know, employer relations, trade relations in the UK at the moment, because we're seeing the current government is looking to change the legislation regarding trade unions and how they can operate. From the TUC perspective, what do you feel about the current legislation being promoted by the government?
Well, this bill is unfair and unnecessary. It is really the biggest attack on workers' rights that we've seen for 30 years. And it will make it much, much harder for working people to get better pay and save jobs. It's pretty draconian. The government is setting new thresholds for participation in strike ballots, but it won't allow us to use electronic balloting, which we know would boost numbers. And perhaps most worrying of all, even if we jump through all those hoops, the government's encouraging employers to use agency labour to break strikes. Now, I think most people understand that strikes are always a last resort. Most negotiations end up in a fair settlement. But if you only have power on one side of the table, it's very hard to get a fair deal.
And we're seeing that legislation, you know, being announced, sort of, we're speaking in July 2015. But we also know that one of the major changes that may happen for workers in this country, you know, in 2017 will be the referendum on the European Union and our membership. From the TUC's perspective, what would you want to see from a renegotiation with Europe? And, you know, there's a long history in the trade union movement of Euroscepticism, with Tony Benn and Bob Crowe being prominent voices on the left for leaving the European Union. What is it the TUC would look for in a renegotiation?
It's absolutely right that, in fact, the TUC originally recommended voting against what was then called the common market.
Indeed.
Because a market was never enough in itself. And, of course, we were persuaded by Jacques Delors, the then president of the European Union, that we should support Europe because he promised that the market would be balanced by what was called a strong social dimension, that there would be rights for workers across Europe so that there would be a level playing field, social protections, but critically also a voice for the representatives of working people, unions as well as employers. Now, we're really worried that, first of all, nobody seems to know exactly what David Cameron is trying to renegotiate. But we understand part of that deal is an attempt to water down workers' rights. And that's not only unfair, it's also not very intelligent if you want to get a yes vote at that referendum, because TUC polling shows very clearly that if you water down workers' rights or worsen them, they are much less likely to vote yes in a referendum, because people obviously want to know what's in it for us. And apparently some are seeking to make equal rights for agency workers much weaker, and the working time directive, which has given us all workers across Europe rights to paid holidays and breaks, that much weaker too. And what's more, introduce a moratorium on any new rights. So even though we know we've got big new challenges around casualisation, 0 hours contracts, people's living standards and being able to negotiate a fair deal at work, apparently there are some who would like to see a freeze on that. Now, that places us all in a very difficult position. And what the TUC is saying is, first of all, we want the Prime Minister to come clean, tell us if that's what you are trying to renegotiate. Secondly, we're trying to, through the European TUC, encourage other governments to stand firm. But thirdly, in the end, it's our members who decide. We've got a Congress coming up in September. Once we know what's in that deal, then we'll be able to come to a judgment on what's in the best interests of working people.
And thinking about that, you know, these debates around Europe have been existing for sort of 40, 50 years within the trade union movement. But the Trade Union Congress itself started way back in 1868, I believe. And at the University of Warwick, in our Modern Record Centre, we're proud to house the archive of the Trade Union Congress, as well as the CBI archives as well. To a student studying here, what do you think they could learn from looking at these archives, and why should they go in there and look at the history of the trade union movement?
Well, Warwick does an incredibly important job in looking after what is a treasure trove of historical material about how the trade union movement was born. And I still think, I love labour history, and I still think that there is lots to learn, because when you look back to when we had those first waves of mass trade unionism, workers were in very difficult positions, standing at the factory gate to get hired. Well, today we've got 0 hours contracts. Women in particular didn't get equal pay, and we've still got nearly a 20% pay gap between men and women if you include part-time working women. Big challenges about getting organised. In some areas, there was a lot of hostility to workers banding together to stand up for their rights and rebalance that power in the workplace. So arguably, we face many of the same challenges today. And I think we should never be so proud that we think we can't learn from the past in trying to shape our future.
And thinking about the future now, and thinking about those 21-year-olds today graduating and heading off into the workplace, why should they join a trade union? Why is it important to them?
Well, it's still the case that trade union members are much more likely to get fairer pay. They're much more likely to get learning opportunities, including continuous professional development through our Union Learn operation, but also through the agreements that we get with employers. And if you look ahead, you know, when people do start a family, it's really important to have a good balance between work and home life. And again, unions have negotiated lots of really great agreements that help people do just that. So we still make lives better for working people, but we can only do that if people join us, because there is strength in numbers and there's strength in unity. We have thousands of employers in both the public and the private sector who recognise us, but we have to get organised for that to happen. So I think a young person today can get a lot from his or her union, but I would also ask that they give something back too. And I really hope that graduates from this brilliant university know from their own experience through the NUS that it's only by getting together and sticking together that we can get fair treatment together.
Frances O'Grady, many congratulations again, and thank you for your time.
Thank you very much.